Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I love your presence. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Everton held Liverpool to a draw in the derby. Spurs registered their first draw in the league this season. And David Beckham's got his own statue. Hi, everybody. Petey is back.
Hello. How are you doing? You all right?
All right, Pete.
I'm all right. Just got off a flight. And then I thought I'm going to eat healthy all day. But somebody had sent us some bacon flavoured sweets that went off in 2015. So I've just eaten those. Me and both you have both eaten
them. I can still taste it now.
I'd feel dreadful now.
Yeah, I'd forgotten the weird, because it was bacon flavoured popping candy, the one I had. Yeah. And I'd forgotten the strange sensation of hearing it through your own head.
Yeah. And also it went off in July 2015.
Who sent you that?
I don't know. Well, someone who wanted to kill me.
We bought something online which we needed for the office, and it came as a free gift with it.
It's one of those Instagram-y kind of companies.
Thanks for buying our product. Why don't we try and kill you?
Yeah. Terrible. Here's some sweets that taste like a horrible moth.
So welcome to the final Football Ramble.
Yeah.
Indeed.
We're out of there.
Right, gentlemen, despite the sad news of Keith Flint dying, we are going to talk about some football. Yeah. All right, little mench for the great man, the prodigy frontman, of course. Terrible news.
I know that one.
Oh, dear. Right, Premier League. Klopp's clan are 1 point behind Man City after a draw against Everton. Mm. Is Klopp cracking up?
What a windy game. So windy. Did anyone get a chance to see any of the football? Because the wind was just so
bad. Couldn't see the ball.
No.
It was very windy on the weekend, it was.
Mm. It was like playing in a wind tunnel.
In this studio in about an hour once that bacon-flavoured candy.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Pete.
Oh, that's going to have repercussions, isn't it?
Playing in Chicago. Yeah.
Let's be fair. Liverpool have done an amazing job to overhaul the points deficit from last season.
Doesn't mean anything.
Well, if you've let me finish the point,
okay.
It may well do. It may not, but it may.
Right.
They've done an amazing job to overhaul that points difference from last season. They're still well in the mix. And they've done a good job. But... Is it just me or does Jurgen Klopp do this every time they have a sort of slightly negative result? I mean, one minute he's talking about the win, the next minute he's having a bit of a set to with like a 12-year-old. Then he's in the press conference afterwards, not being happy with people's questions. It's just all sorts going on.
Is it, though?
To me, it happens far too regularly when he's on the end of a negative result.
Mm. But with that in mind, is it perhaps like a sort of lighter version of what Jose Mourinho does, where
I don't think he's as calculating as that. I don't think there's any way you could argue that Jurgen Klopp is as calculating as Jose Mourinho.
No, not as calculating.
He had a genuine,
perhaps a milder version of that.
He had a genuine conversation with a little dicky ball boy.
Yeah,
which I didn't enjoy simply because I quite like Jurgen Klopp. And when the ball boy did that thing at Spurs, I did a little wink and it was cheeky. Yeah. I thought that's cheeky. That's quite funny. But the Everton ball boy just doing ironic clapping.
Yeah.
I think it's shitty behaviour from that ball boy.
I completely agree, but is
and if I was Jon Kaby, I would throw him over a hoarding.
If you're Aiden Hazard, you'd have booted him. I don't think there's any way you could argue. Well, first of all, that Klopp should be getting involved in that, despite that behaviour.
With a ball boy.
But secondly, I don't think Klopp is, based on what I saw in the post-match interview and then the press conference, yeah. I don't know how you feel about it, Marcus, but there's no way he's in control of that. He's letting it get to him.
Keegan.
Yeah, not quite that. On the Keegan scale. Keegan. Not quite the dizzying heights of that. Getting there.
A two on the Keegan.
Yeah, I did think Keegan a little bit. Because I saw his reaction. I thought, oh, what was the question? Because if someone does ask a bit of a silly question, it can annoy you, fair enough. But I didn't think it was that stupid a question, really. It's very generic. And of course, it's a bit like, you probably did want to win, didn't you, Jurgen? I understand that. But his response has to be a bit more measured.
But Marcus, even if it's a terrible question.
Yeah.
You don't have to engage with it in that way. You don't have to be patronising and moody and say that. It alludes what he's alluded to before, which is that people who report on the game don't understand the game, in quotes.
I just think
that's unnecessary. You can flat bat it away. Plenty of managers in the past just said, look, we thought we did the best we could to win the game.
And that man is hewn from PR. He's a wonderful kind of communicator. He's got great relations with people and he's funny and he's erudite and he's interesting. But so when he does flip out a little bit of a report, you sort of, he's like all the other managers.
He's human, Peter. Mm.
Managers aren't human. Sorry, Jim. That's the problem.
The whole issue that they're sort of facing at the moment in terms of the tone that's around them is this idea that, are they starting to get a bit stressed? Are they starting to wobble because they're bottling it a little bit? And that doesn't help that narrative, does it, from Klopp sort of showing a bit of emotion like that. But they're only a point behind City with 9 games to go. And at the start of the year, obviously, they had that 7-point lead that people are talking about.
They were 10 points clear on the 29th of December.
10 points.
Mm. I think so, on the 29th.
As many as 10.
Yeah.
Right, but obviously, it's slightly different. But at the start of December, City had a 5-point lead over Liverpool. And then that was eroded away. When everyone was like, oh, God, Liverpool have hauled them in. And sort of talking about City as if they collapse. Yeah. And with 9 games to go, with them a point behind, there's room for that to change again, surely.
Oh, for sure. But I do think that there's... It's all linked to the same thing, right? So as Pete just said there, it doesn't help to solidify the idea that they're actually in this for the long haul and they're doing okay and it's just a draw and, it's away from home against a big rival, so don't worry about it. It's a good point because none of their behaviour since the game has suggested they actually think that.
Yeah.
Mm. That's the issue.
None of their fans' behaviour has suggested that the derby is in any way as big as the actual title challenge against Manchester City. The Liverpool 11 derby has taken second fiddle to, I don't know, the rivalry between Manchester United and Liverpool for the past 10 years. It just hasn't been a special...
Well, they call it the friendly derby.
Mm. Everton did celebrate at the final whistle, 0-0, which...
I thought they did okay.
One or two people in the Liverpool camp were a bit like, why are they celebrating that?
Well, they've overcome the wind.
Yeah, it's a victory for both of them against the wind.
Yeah, but it was a good point for Everton. I mean, bear in mind they've been a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, but to withstand Liverpool or contain them when Liverpool were clearly the better side, they had the chances, didn't they?
Yeah,
and they didn't take them. But Everton, one or two people suggesting they did a similar job to that of Manchester United on Liverpool's attacking trio, and that would be a concern for me if I was a Liverpool fan, seeing that if Manchester United do it at Old Trafford, well. Okay, but when Everton do, I mean, Michael Keane was excellent in Everton's events. But one thing that Liverpool lack, perhaps, is a what you'd call a proper creative midfielder. They've got a lot of industry in there, and they do have a bit of creativity, don't get me wrong. And the attacking three up front are so good, but they don't have a David Silva or you could argue even a Riyad Mahrez.
And even when they put the liner on, they put him on quite far forward. And when they play Shaqiri, they play him quite far forward. You know?
Yeah, they don't, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, you mentioned all these Manchester City players, or even, well, I don't know if it's still relevant to say Mesut Ozil, you know, but I mean, I suppose he had moments against Bournemouth. But Spurs and Christian Eriksen.
Yes, you're that link man, effectively.
Yeah, perhaps that's the one thing that they maybe lack. And when they're trying to pick the lock, that's maybe where they come unstuck. But then it's all very well to say if Salah puts in one of those chances, and you know, strikers miss chances. Yeah. You know, we've seen this.
Also, Jordan Pickford's a good goalkeeper.
Yes, you know, it's,
I think there's an element what you're saying, Marcus, is just if one of the front three don't do it, it doesn't happen.
Mm.
And
very reliant on them.
Yeah, I think so. And Everton, all this stuff about them celebrating and getting a point or whatever. I mean, I understand that that's sometimes a cause for derision, but Everton understand that was a good point. I mean, they found it difficult on occasion this season, as you mentioned, Marcus. They've been Jekyll and Hyde, mm-hmm. probably more Hyde than people would like.
Yes.
So, of course, they're going to celebrate a point.
And they're celebrating denting Liverpool's title.
Yeah, true.
Defence. That's what it is.
And for all the chat about Michael Keane, I thought Van Dijk was excellent again, because Everton could have probably nicked it. But Van Dijk was fantastic as well. So it was a game for people putting in good defensive displays and keeping attacking players quiet. And sometimes that's what they're like, isn't it?
It's very true. I mean, Liverpool beat Watford 5-0, was it, at Anfield the other week? You know, so it's a derby match. Everton were very dogged. On another day, Liverpool would have won. You can spin this and turn it.
Yeah.
Burnley will be hammered by Liverpool next week. So it's fine.
Quite maybe. Well, with Tom Heaton.
But it might not be fine, because if they don't overhaul the points gap between Man City, they're gonna blow the best chance they've had of winning the Premier League for quite a while.
Sounds like they already have. 10 points clear, mate.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to be top of the league in March anyway?
Well,
Jim,
absolutely. That's what people keep saying, isn't it? But I think you could also spin it the other way as well, because if this is exactly the sort of game, taking away the sort of derby nature of it, pre-Virgil van Dijk, they could have lost. He was imperious. Yes.
He's improved them a great deal. He's improved them a great deal. Yeah. Yeah. I think they've got an amazing points tally.
I think with Klopp, it's a case of when there's a little wobble or there's a little something, they go, well, it's unravelling. It's unravelling. Well, what's happening here? It's pressure. You're bottling it. And you ask him that many questions that many times. And then finally, when they do go slip into second, I just think he'd have a cry. Just piss off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a fair question to ask.
Has the manager got
the mentality to deal with that? Yeah. It's the pressure's going to get harder and harder. And for whatever you think about Pep Guardiola, he's won it. So he will understand. He'll have experience to draw on. He'll know how to react, you'd think. Of course, Pep does occasionally sometimes do that mad stuff, like when he had a massive go at Nathan Redmond. You know, for no reason.
That was excellent. Yeah,
for how brilliant he was.
No, apparently said about how he was brilliant, but he could also be a lot better. It's just mad.
Can you imagine, right? So Pep Guardiola sat there watching that football match, Liverpool dropping points. In one noise, Luke, we'll go around the table. Mm. What noise do you reckon Pep Guardiola made?
But when the final whistle went?
Yeah. Marcus? That's opening a can of Sprite.
Yeah.
No, I think it was.
Do you think? No, I don't think he's not.
He's a little girl.
No, I don't think. No, you've muffed that right up, Peter.
I reckon he called him and did that. Withheld number. Is that Pep?
No.
Is that giggling Guardiola?
No, actually, can I revise mine?
Yeah.
Be more of a. Ooh.
Yeah.
Because he gets that giggly look, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Like he's drunk on football.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, Liverpool's fixtures include Spurs at home and Chelsea at home. Man City's Spurs at home, Manchester United away.
It's all right. The Ox is back, mate. It's fine.
Exactly. Well, Spurs have to play both of them. Mm-hmm. And Spurs drew 1-1 with Arsenal on the weekend. They finally drew a game this season, and it was against their fierce local rivals, Arsenal. Tale of two penalties at Wembley, of course. Kane's correctly given.
Yes, and it took a while to...
You say that. Mm-hmm. You both say that, but I don't know if that's definitely true. And what is the only thing that is clear is that the law is ridiculous and needs to be...
Absolutely.
It needs to be simplified post-haste.
Yeah, well, I mean, the FA rule states that if a player in an offside position is moving towards the ball with the intention of playing the ball and is fouled before playing or attempting to play the ball or challenging an opponent for the ball, the foul is penalised as it has occurred before the offside offence.
But the law also says, Jim, an offence is committed against a player in an offside position who is already playing or attempting to play the ball or challenging an opponent for the ball, the offside offence is penalised as it had occurred before the foul challenge.
So enter Mustafi!
Exactly, yeah. So it depends whether you think it depends what your interpretation of Kane's behaviour is. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, really, we're getting into a situation now where we're so far away from what the offside law was designed to do, i.e. stop strikers goal hanging around the 6-yard box or whatever it was at the time, to just these pieces of nuance that are so small and so open to interpretation that actually, if you look at Sam Wallace of the whatever paper he's at now, maybe the Telegraph, he raised this on Twitter on Sunday. And then as I checked before we came in the studio, him, someone from the PGMOL and a couple of other journalists and Mark Housie, ex-Premier League rep, were all still arguing about what the correct interpretation is. So if that's the case, it needs to be simplified.
Well, I don't feel clear on it.
No.
Is anyone
here? Every year the laws get changed slightly.
Yeah.
And I always use that kind of assembly of Father Ted's car, where he's got like a little ding in it. And to try and get rid of the ding, he sort of hits the car next to the ding to kind of pop out the ding. But that makes another ding. So now he's got two dings to deal with. And now he's got, so this offside rule is kind of offside and kind of where you're in play, second kind of bit. It's turned into this really weird thing. Bottom line is, if the ball touches your hand, it's handball.
Whatever happens. That's the thing. So it's impossible to ask an assistant referee to make an offside call accurately based on the current for me, it has to go back to, even if it was this, I can't even find the evidence it was this, but that might be because they give instructions to referees that they don't publish. Daylight. And I think you've got to get rid of the interfering with play thing. Because I think the interfering with play part of it is when it started. Yeah, that was the thin end of the wedge. Mm. And that's when it started to get a little bit vague.
If you're on the pitch, you should be interfering in play.
Right.
Whether you Mesut Ozil pulling players around. Is he interfering with play when he's not near the ball? He's still pulling defenders around.
Of course. What did you think of the decision, Marcus, when you saw it?
Well, he wasn't given offside. So I understand all that chat and it's relevant. But in terms of the actual decision, he wasn't given offside. So we then play the game.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a tiny bit soft, but I thought it was probably just about a penalty.
I think what's frustrating from an Arsenal point of view is I think Lauren Koscielny heads that away if Mustafi doesn't push Harry Kane into him. I mean, it should be irrelevant.
Yeah, whereas I thought the Arsenal penalty wasn't a penalty.
I disagree on that, because I think Sanchez has, you know, he's been very clumsy there, and Aubameyang's taken out of the game from it.
To bring another layer into this, I think it was a very soft one, but I think if VAR was asked to look at that, it wouldn't have overturned it, because there was enough contact there to mean it wasn't an obvious error. Basically, we are in a situation now in football where we get so het up and caught up with all these decisions. It feels to me that it's almost all we talk about.
Well, the problem is, I think that...
And that's how VAR's got in.
Well, yeah, it's another ding, isn't it? We want to stop talking about all these things, but it just creates new ones.
But VAR can't. We know that it's open to interpretation. You'd have given it. I wouldn't have given it.
Yeah.
We should just go back to the old referee's decisions final. He gets some right, he gets some wrong. Yeah. You know, hopefully he gets far more right than wrong.
Another example as well, and this backs up what you're saying, Luke, about how this needs to change. In the Man United game, Romelu Lukaku's goal. Technically, if VAR was in place, his knee is offside there, and like there's no
That's
advantage
the
gained. You can't
expect an assistant referee to see how a toe or a kneecap is offside. It's ridiculous. But the game itself was a really interesting game. It was great to see.
Aaron Ramsey scored the opener. Well taken. Did he say as he was celebrating, "This is my effing pitch"?
If he didn't, his body language said it on behalf of everyone.
His eyes seemed to say it's a wonderful thing to say.
I thought that was what he said. Yeah.
And I mean, he's had so many brilliant moments there, and it's so good to see him get another one and sort of step up and lead. He's going to be such a miss. It was a really interesting game. I think obviously the emotion of it gets in the way when you're watching it as a supporter of either side, but it's a really interesting performance from both teams, really. And Arsenal were very defensively very good, which I think has gone under the radar a little
Leno
bit.
Played his part.
Leno played very well, great double save in the first half. Socrates was excellent, he kept Harry Kane very quiet in general, and obviously Mustafi was there as well. he reminds me of when an athlete that isn't a footballer plays in Soccer 8.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got the fitness and the desire, but just
I can't believe Spurs didn't
attack
more down the left.
Yeah, that was surprising to me too.
But I agree with you about Arsenal. I thought they defended brilliantly. I thought Spurs sort of knocked on the door over and over again in the first half, couldn't find a way through, and Arsenal defended very well. They looked comfortable. Spurs weren't playing with any tempo. They looked like they just got a complete... When Eriksen's not playing well, which I don't think he did,
Yeah, but Moussa Sissoko
carried
him.
He was great, but there's nothing subtle about him. He can't, talking about what you were talking about earlier with Liverpool, yeah. You could argue it's the same thing.
Well, you need Eriksen to provide it. I mean,
Sissoko, and they missed Wink so badly to knit it all together.
Exactly. Sissoko's provided so much thrust and desire, you know, interceptions, tackles, but also, you know, pace and going forward. And I think he was man of the match, actually. But when you don't have Winks in there or Eriksen perhaps providing a little bit more craft, for want of a better word. Mm.
It looked like they were playing with, in the second half, Marcus, I was at the game, it looked like they were playing without a midfield.
Yes. Well, Sissoko was doing it all himself.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Danny Rose said that Pochettino gave a very inspiring half-time team talk. He said it was one of the best team talks he'd witnessed, actually, and left them ready to go to war in the second half. And he said normally Pochettino at half-time is actually quite calm and collected, whereas we've seen him be sort of fairly passionate, and I suppose stereotypes of Argentinians, well, in general, but especially in football. I was sort of quite surprised about that, actually.
I was as well, because obviously, you know, Spurs got back into the game via a penalty, but it didn't seem like they sort of raised their game in terms of sort of energetic tempo.
No, the first 20 minutes of the second half, I thought it was probably the poorest spell of theirs.
Yeah, the second half of the first half, they were knocking on the door.
They were probably just thinking about the team.
Good.
So good.
Yeah. I feel so inspired.
Danny Rose was probably thinking about handing a hand transfer request. He does this every season around this time, doesn't he? So.
Where did that rap come from? It was so good.
But I think Spurs they've done really well as well. I don't think that should be lost. If they finish in the top four again after what's all been going on, and by the way, over the last few weeks, it's no guarantee they are going to finish in the top four. They're looking over their shoulder rather than looking forward because of what's happened. But it will be a great achievement for them to finish in the top four
and
again.
And a vital penalty save from Lloris, because that just keeps them...
Exactly. Because Arsenal would have gone a point behind them. And the goal difference between them would have been almost completely eradicated in like 3 weeks. Mm. But Spurs are short of fullback. They're short in midfield because they've not replaced key players, and the fullback thing's been a case for a while. When they go through a bad patch, the fullbacks just look terrible, and so they need to strengthen in that area. But overall, I thought it was a really enjoyable game, a great game of high quality. I can't let this go unmentioned. That Leno save, the second of the two, the double save in real time. That was one of the best saves I've ever seen.
It was amazing,
so fast. Yeah. The ball was struck so well, and he saw it so late. And there's an element of luck involved because he throws his hand at it. But what came out of that was it looked amazing. Yeah. I couldn't believe he'd saved it.
Yeah, and what was brilliant for that is it just gives
a
confidence.
A tribute to Gordon Banks, whose funeral is today.
it sort of really gives a lot of faith to your defenders as well. And it frustrates the opposition if something as good as that is palmed away. And I think as well, what was really refreshing as an Arsenal fan was to see Arsenal happily to set up almost in a quite passive way and just try and hit Spurs on the break and just be comfortable and disciplined within that. And it's really nice to see Arsenal playing in, you know, different tactics in different games in very visible ways.
And had Lacazette taken a chance there, then it could have worked. Just quickly, Torreira, was it sending off?
I think it was one of those ones where I felt it was a little bit harsh, but you know, if it's appealed, it's not going to be rescinded. So I see how it was given.
Yes.
But I think it was just a little bit of
difficult
bad
for the referee
luck.
In real time when his studs are up, but he was...
I thought it was a red card. I didn't think it was malicious. I didn't think he meant to hurt the player, but it doesn't look at the player, but it's a red card.
It's a red card, everybody.
Do you
and
agree
it's,
with that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. You don't have to be sure. That's it right for you, isn't it?
I thought they should have all been sent off. It's time for an ad break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, makes a movement, doesn't he?
Yeah, sounds like he's yawning.
Yeah. Maybe that was a Pep Guardiola noise.
Oh, we've got a little bit further to the goal of the title.
He's now a ghost. Ghost.
Pep Guardiola.
Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
It would
explain a lot, actually.
It would. Yeah. Time for emails with Pete D. Only be in
your bunny. Not the beast!
You've got mail.
Bad beat!
If I hadn't just jumped off a flight, I would have definitely made a jingle for Jim's Auxiliary Sauces, which I quite enjoyed last week on the show. Mm. It's quite a nice theme.
Auxiliary Sauces.
Jim's Auxiliary Sauces.
That was in the pie chat, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of paid pie chat this week as well.
The email standard's has been very high.
Through the roof.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Has it been higher or have they just been selected better?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The result is the same.
Fewer best bettors because they're scared. Vincent Simmons from Gothenburg. Hello, Vincent. As a physio, I know a lot about joints.
Yeah. Look at me,
Peter.
And my joints.
Do you have, Vincent, a desk but with a little model of a joint?
A little model
of a joint, not on the desk, like of a ball joint.
Because this is reference to if the knee joint was a ball and socket joint from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a trope I could definitely get on board with. It sounds fascinating. Unfortunately, football would probably be rubbish if we had ball and socket knees. A shallow socket, like the shoulder joint, would be too structurally unstable to handle planted grass.
Pop out all the time.
With studded boots. Yeah, they are quite weak, aren't they? We would also see many dislocated knees. So squads would have to be absurdly massive. Oof. Also, shooting would be less powerful as the large thigh muscle combined with the hinged knee joint is how it's possible to generate too much power or so much power in a shot.
Well, I would argue, though, to counter that, you'd have less long ball, so actually it would improve the tiki-taka style.
It would, actually. People would be walking it into the net. It'd be lovely football.
Lolloping along. Could you add extra muscles, though, on the sides?
Could do.
To provide power to that
side. I like
the
idea of the goalkeeper not being able to kick the ball out of his own penalty area, taking us back to like under 12s football.
Yeah, he'd throw it out.
No one better get out. Yeah, it would no longer be an advantage to get a goal kick.
No, he would kick it so hard, he would kick himself in the face.
That's true, immensely. Yeah. Do you reckon they would pull their legs back like that and like ping it over their shoulder? And then let go.
That's how you take a free kick.
It'd be like a pendulum.
Imagine some throw-ins, though.
Imagine
the possibilities.
I'll say what I said last week. Just imagine a step over.
Yeah.
Could you do like a throw-in where you start throwing it in, but you go up, down, and then you do a kind of like a you know, if you're jumping a skipping rope.
Yeah.
You jump over your own arms. And then sort of wind up a few times.
I don't see why not.
No, because this is the shoulders, not the knees.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but it's the same. But if your shoulders were slightly built a little bit differently, and your
arms
were long enough.
A player just skipping a football for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, skipping a football for 5 minutes and then absolutely.
I think you need to go away. Design the body as you would like it to be, then come back with your
arms.
You don't need to see those.
There's sketches at home, 100%.
It's not sketches, and that's the problem. That's why the police got involved.
Okay, right, let's move on.
Zach Benny, who I believe started the whole pie thing. I was half listening. Dear Ramblers, first, thank you for reading out my email. My life is now complete. I would like to answer some of you and your listeners' queries about the events that took place that night at Stamford Bridge. Yes, Callum, I did take a long time to eat my chips.
This is the pie and chips guy.
Yeah. However, I feel that this is due to the fact that I did not have time to eat them before the game and subsequently did not want to miss a long, continuous chunk of the match by focusing on my pie and chip consumption. Focusing?
Yeah.
Do you really need to focus to get a bit of pie and chip?
You've never eaten in front of telly before.
Also, it was a very generous portion. Surprising, I know. And I'd already eaten quite a lot during the day. why buy it then? Oh,
Zach, lovely detail, that.
Why buy it,
this
Zach?
Is a saga that needs to end now.
Yeah.
Ben Stevenson, hello Ramblers. A few years back, when Jim's favourite footballer of all time, Carlos Tevez, was playing his trade at Man City, his wage slip got leaked on the internet. It's out there in Google Land for all the fans.
It had deductions for his bookings.
Yeah. Yes.
£10 or something.
Obscenely large numbers involved, but there was a small entry in the deductions section called FA Fine, and it was for the princely sum of £24 because he accumulated 2 yellow cards that month.
Right, there we go. It happens. Yeah. We thought it happened, and now we've got proof.
I'm sure Mr. Tevez really struggled to make ends meet that month.
Yeah.
thank you very much. Ben, finally, for now, actually, back the pie one, and this is our last one. Hi, gents. In response to Jim and Marcus claiming that sauce has no place on a gravy filled pie, as is from Sam, I would like to provide a response from the home of crazy football, Australia. Not only is sauce a must, there are two acceptable methods for its application. Apply the sauce to the top of the pie and spread evenly across all surfaces of the top pastry layer. That is certainly something I would be up for. Yeah. This one, though, is disgusting, but I'm also kind of into it.
Mm. They're very proud of their pies in Australia.
It's a little bit...
Yeah, it's a big thing there.
50 Shades of Grey. It's so, a bit, come into my room, I'm going to do something a bit weird, but you might be into it.
Sounds like a high-risk manoeuvre.
Use the pointy-topped, squeezy sauce bottle, which is pierced through the top layer of the pastry, and then sauce injected directly into the gravy, creating a dreamy sauce gravy mix.
Jim will be gutted about that.
You having that?
That's awful. It depends on... It obviously depends on the sauce and the pie. Personally, I'm not into it. I'm not into it. So the first one is to spread it all over the top, cut the top off, and have it separately.
No. Yeah, you just spread it over the top and you start eating.
Yeah, right,
and
just go separation.
I presume that's how you would do that anyway. To be honest, if I was going to get involved with the conversation last week, that's what I would go for.
That's effectively the same thing, isn't it? You're just putting the sauce into the pie,
but jabbing, like an injection.
Yeah, I mean, points for style, absolutely.
An intravenous sauce injection.
What would you do? You see a bloke get a syringe out, and the sauce, and then into the pie.
It wouldn't be a syringe, though, would it? Because most of those kind of things have little kind of things. But
I'm more interested in the theatre of it than what it tastes like.
Massively, but it would upset people who want like vegan pies, I imagine. You'd have to have separate sauce bottles for vegan pies and meat pies, wouldn't you?
True. It's a can of worms. It's a pie.
It's a pie of worms. It's a pie of worms. Sam, thank you for your email. If you want to get in touch with the show, shortthefootballramble.com.
How about that? The West London Derby happened on the weekend. Scott Parker's first match as Fulham manager ended in a respectable loss, which is the best Fulham can hope for these days.
Yeah, it's the hallmark of their season.
They're 10 points from safety with 9 matches to go. Parker spoke about planning for the long term at Fulham because he seems to be very aware of the situation. Interesting, old Scotty P. But Fulham, I mean, it was a better performance. Chelsea, obviously, far superior side. And it was Sarri's two favourites, Higuain and Jorginho. Both were lovely finishes.
Both excellent finishes. Yeah, very different finishes as well. Mm-hmm. Also, I think, that Jorginho goal is very timely, isn't it? Because obviously he is Sarri's, man on the pitch. And
teacher's
actually,
pet.
Yeah, very much so. But it feels, they've had a good week, haven't they? Given the storm around them and a lot of talk that Sarri might lose his job after the cup final. In a way, his response to this has been brilliant. And I think it's bought him some time.
On Kepa coming back in to goal and playing very well.
Yeah.
Slight little error when he dropped the ball, but I mean, he got away with it. And
he made one mistake in the game.
Sure, but he made some good saves. I know what you mean, that Chelsea seems to sort of come through that. I mean, will he be there after the summer is the question. I've no doubt he'll be there for the rest of the season unless there's an absolute disaster, which I wouldn't have thought there would be. Mm. But it was, it was a good win for Chelsea, but poor old Fulham, the goal that Sessegnon scored, one of the papers today was showing his still images saying, well, actually, perhaps...
He looked marginally offside to me. Again, this is fucking offside thing.
Get rid of them altogether. Yeah.
The fact is, these decisions can happen, do you know what I mean? And even if Fulham had got a point, it would have been a great point as well, and they rallied a bit more. It would be a miraculous escape now. I mean, I know Roy Hodgson kept them up quite miraculously a number of years ago now, and that 3-2 away win at Manchester City with a last-minute goal and so
before
on and so forth.
At the end of the month, they're playing Liverpool and Manchester City.
And that's the reason. one of many reasons.
Marcus, on the Scott Parker situation, to me, it's got echoes of Darren Moore at West Brom. Mm-hmm. So he comes in late. Can't save them because they're essentially dead and buried, but he does very well, gets manager of the month.
Yeah, they just lost 4-0.
Yeah, they have. I'm not suggesting my point is he's very well timed.
No, I know what you're saying.
But he's doing a good job overall.
Well, they're in the playoffs, aren't they? They've got a chance.
If we can get amongst it and really sort of rally them, keep some of the players at least, and then next season they can mount another challenge to get back into the Premier League, exactly as Darren Moore and West Brom are doing.
Chris Hughton at Newcastle.
It's not the end of the world, is it? Because Newcastle is another example, yeah. But I
know what you're saying, Luke, and I think I agree with that. Yeah.
I would have enjoyed him getting a point because Sessegnon, he looks so crestfallen because he's still only 12 years old.
Yes.
It's impossible to not feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
because he was very, very happy about that. He loves Fulham, of course. It's a rivalry game. He celebrated like he couldn't believe it, and then obviously it was taken from him cruelly by the laws of the game.
Yeah. I wonder if Sessegnon, come the summer, will
inject himself into a pie?
Maybe.
A saucignon. It's unlikely. But
that was the joke.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Some markers at the point out to me. But I enjoyed it. Yeah. That's the main thing.
I'm just annoyed that you laughed at that point rather than earlier.
Yeah.
Did it get a cheap laugh? Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Chalk it up. I think there's always talk that you might go to Spurs. That seems to be the usual route for decent Fulham players. What's he going to do? Will he go back to the Championship? He's not had a great time in the Premier League because of the side.
I think he struggled to adjust quite a lot.
Yeah.
He played in the right yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's
flips around.
Exactly, yeah. I think we are very much assuming that Fulham will go down, of course. It does certainly look that way. If they can keep certain members, I would have thought they would have had a chance of keeping quite a lot because they've not really done themselves too many favours. and the money that some of them are on, you know, would they get that elsewhere and so on? And they probably enjoy playing.
They've all got clauses, I think.
Yeah, you would expect.
All these Fulham players.
The ones they've signed recently, yes. But I mean, the Dennis Adoy's and the Tim Reams and Tom Kearney.
The thing is, with absolute fairness, and Marcus, you've watched them more than I have, but my firmly held opinion on Adoy, Ream, they're Championship players.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And the thing Fulham did is that they probably realised that and panicked and they bought too many players. And it unsettled the squad. Mm. And that's the problem, is those players have got you into the Premier League. You have to manage that very, very carefully. You have to do it right. And unless you're Watford, where their mad way of running a football club, signing this, that and the other, it seems to work. It's a very rare example. Mm. And if you get a few players, like Callum Chambers, decent signing, you know, get a few to guide, you know, maybe one or two leaders who can guide some of these players, Adoy's and so on, because they can put in the odd, you know, decent performance here and there and so on. But most of the squads, Pete, you're always going about Newcastle squads, largely Championship players. Look at Brighton, even one or two at places like Burnley and so on. Yes, some of them you could say Premier League, but a lot of those lower end Premier League players, you could also describe them as Championship players.
Yeah,
but
true.
If you just have a few in there.
But here's the point.
Likes of Burnley do.
I think that's a fair thing to say, but here's the response is, how can Fulham have spent all that money and signed all those players and end up in a game against a good team where they're fighting for their lives and their back six players are Joe Bryan, who came from Bristol City, Tim Ream, Dennis Adoy, Nortvay, who looks decent enough to be fair, Callum Chambers and Kevin McDonald. Mm-hmm. They've got no thoroughbred quality in the back six of their team against Chelsea in a game they've got to win. Because they spent loads of money.
They did spend loads of money, yeah.
Mawson's injured, I'll give him that.
True, but I suppose
it's not exciting though, is it?
No.
Buying defenders.
That's true, yeah.
Bar off.
But do you understand the point?
Of course I understand the point. They didn't spend the money that wisely. You know, they spent a lot. Mitrovic, there was Seri coming in as well, a few others.
Can't get the team now, Seri.
Well, exactly. But I don't know. Parker's first game in charge, obviously, he maybe some of the players he knows a bit more he's putting in there. Mm. I don't know, but they lost the
Play
game.
Play yourself, Scotty.
They lost the game. At Old Trafford, there was some enjoyable moments. Manchester United beat Southampton 3-2. Well, Solskjaer said it was like the old days. Manchester United got a late winner in an entertaining match.
It felt a bit like that, didn't it?
Yeah, Valery scored a beauty, didn't he? And then Pereira scored a lovely one as well.
What do you think was better?
Pereira's.
Because I like Valery's because he was at the near post as much as something from that far out can be.
De Gea would have saved it on another day.
I was going to say, I think you could say that Valery's was better because it was against a better goalkeeper.
Mm. I mean, De Gea did get a hand to it. He just hit it so hard he couldn't keep it out.
Sure, no, I'm not saying it's like a massive error, but I think, I don't know, I think Pereira's was better.
This was, in terms
you can enjoy both of them.
In terms of the quality of the goals, it's probably one of the best games of the season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can't think of a game that had so many other good goals.
Didn't it beat a Premier League record for like goals scored from outside of the box?
You should have checked that before you asked.
I was going to say.
Well, yeah. I'm just asking it. It was in my head.
You're fresh off a plane. Anything could be in your head.
Yeah. Don't just say stuff that comes into your head. Right. I know we can edit it.
A lot of editing involved with that kind of
thing. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Lukaku among the goals again.
Yeah.
He's found his scoring boots, hasn't he?
Well, yeah. He did later in the game.
But he still scored them.
Yeah, later in the game after he whiffed a couple.
Did he score two or did he not?
He whiffed a couple.
Marcus,
they
don't count if they're later in the game. You know that. It's like when you go 2-0 down, win 3-2. You shouldn't have gone 2-0 down.
there was a point where he whiffed. He was about 2 yards from goal and he whiffed the ball and he should have whacked it.
Yeah, well, he made amends, would you agree
more
to that?
More whacking, less whiffing.
Well, what about Paul Pogba's penalty? Did he whiff that?
Well, that's what I mean. He should have taken that. Pogba should have been giving it to Lukaku.
Yeah, but if he's the penalty taker.
I would give anything just for 10 minutes inside your mind. Mm. 10 minutes.
Don't care. Well, in my mind, Lukaku would have taken the penalty and we might have had a different result.
I know, but
Paul Pogba.
The result would have been the same.
Yeah. They won 3-2.
Rifled it down the middle.
What happened on this plane?
It's like Lost.
Alternate reality.
But the chat around Lukaku is interesting because he gets a reputation, arguably rightly, for being a bit inconsistent in terms of his goal scoring. Yeah, he's 25 and I think he's got, 120 Premier League goals already?
113, I think.
Yeah, okay. So he could be a challenger to Alan Shearer's record.
Yeah,
no one talks about it. People talk about Kane. Lukaku sticks around for another 10 years, he'll break it.
It's a fair point.
He'll break it.
I can't imagine him like sort of banging at the same rate when he's 34, though. You know, that's going to be a challenge. But you're right. But the thing is, if he can find consistency, he's going to be one of the best strikers in the world, isn't he? And it's good to see him sort of stepping back up because it feels like he was the last big player, aside from Alexis Sanchez in a sort of, you know, slightly different situation, to really sort of step up and flourish under Solskjaer.
Yeah, I agree with you there, definitely. Mm. You're absolutely right.
It's a great game anyway, very enjoyable game for the neutral.
Yeah, Southampton were unlucky not to get something out of the game, though. I mean, they were pushing for a winner at one point.
Mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're 2 points above the relegation zone, but the way they're playing, they're just beginning to pull away now, aren't they? Mm. Even though they're only 2 points, there's just some of the performances.
Well, they won the game before, didn't they? And Cardiff have lost three in a row now, I think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think going back to Man United as well, their last two games of the season are be Huddersfield and then Cardiff. Mm. And that both those teams could realistically be relegated by then. Huddersfield almost certainly will be. And I mean, that could be a huge, huge advantage for Man United, race for the top four. Yeah,
it's looking now that you've got four teams who want to get those last two top four places because Man City and Liverpool are away. So yeah. Spurs, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea. If Chelsea win their game in hand, they go into fourth. Mm. So it's all to play
very
for.
Very tight.
All to play for.
Very much.
Imagine if Sarri comes out of Chelsea at the end of the season with a Champions League place, gets them back in the Champions League, gets them to a cup final. I mean, it would look a bit weird, all the coverage of it.
Still in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine they win the Europa League as well.
Yeah, but we know that if you win the Europa League and finish in the top four for Chelsea, it's usually not good enough.
That's true, actually.
Rafi Benitez.
Yeah, true.
Shades of Rafi.
Very popular down there. Has it got a stand named after him now?
I think just T-shirts for now.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to go to the Championship and the WhatsApp group. See you in a minute.
Let's have some fun
indeed. The preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Thursday. How did our best better get on?
Chris B, we hardly knew ye. A bet which I thought was a reasonable shout, over 3.5 goals in the North London Derby, sadly did not come to pass because it ended 1-1. So we need a new better. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line and I will pick another one on Thursday.
He will, ladies and gentlemen. He's got form for it. Let's go to the Championship. Leeds beat West Brom 4-0. Big win for Bielsa. Big win.
Pablo Hernandez scored an absolute screamer about a minute.
It was 16 seconds.
16
how
seconds.
How many? I think it was 16 seconds.
He's warmed up.
How many good goals were there?
Do your warm-ups properly and that's what happens.
Do your warm-ups.
Jack Grealish as well. Beauty.
Whoa. Well, we'll come on to that in a second. I mean, we've already mentioned it, but it needs another mention.
It does.
When do I want me to mention it?
Pete, for some reason that wasn't a good goal or something because it happened in like the 83rd minute or something.
We won't mention it then.
But, well, we already have, sucker.
Joke's on you.
I think the commentator was saying while Leeds were kind of coming forward in those first few seconds, Norwich sort of knocked it forward and then they intercepted. See, oh, you know, Leeds, they need to have a good result here. They've been slightly indifferent of like, that goes in and they never look back.
Yeah.
No,
and that is exactly what they needed at Elland Road, because they have had a couple of sloppy results in the context of their season. To beat West Brom, who are in the playoffs, who score a lot of goals, as we've mentioned before, was quite incredible. And Bamford scored. How much does Bamford love the Championship?
He's king of the Huckabee zone, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
And actually, if I was looking at those goals, and this is a very harsh way to sort of scrutinise someone, but massively with that in mind. And I think, because he doesn't have a huge amount of pace, I'd feel like he just wouldn't have scored those in the Premier League in a sort of comparable one-on-one situation.
Well, there was a period of time where he was out, wasn't he? Around the middle of December, he got injured, I think. And that was when they went out of the FA Cup and they led a couple of dodgy results. And I saw a few Leeds fans saying, look, we need Bamford back. He knits it together. He's an important player. And he showed he was. The thing is, I said, I think you pushed me a couple of weeks ago about who I thought would miss out on the top three.
Yeah.
And I said Leeds because I thought they might tire. And they were brilliant against West Brom.
This is the Championship fear. You see a result like that in a performance, you go,
But Sheffield United win their game in hand, they still go above.
Well, they're playing Sheffield Wednesday tonight, of course. So it's a big one. Tyler Roberts was excellent for Leeds. Welsh international, I believe.
Yeah.
Did you see Darren Moore took down a pitch invader?
I didn't see this. I saw it in the write-up. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's not.
You need to describe it to
it's
us.
It's sort of not as spectacular as you think, but still, you get the job done.
Yeah.
So the pitch invader, he sort of ran on and so on. I don't know.
We're going to get beat, but let's have a fight.
No, it was. He took him down sort of fairly gently.
Oh, I imagine he's an absolutely lovely man, Darren Moore.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. A gentle giant. Well, yeah. I say giant. He's obviously a big guy, but.
Yeah. He used to be called Bovril at Portsmouth. I told you that, didn't I? He always used to win the ball, but he used to smash it into the crowd.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. His passing wasn't the best, but he was good for us. He was decent.
Yeah.
And he was really popular. I think there's a reason. When someone's universally popular throughout football, you know, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I met him on some Talk of the Terrace on ESPN.
Nice guy?
Yes. Reef were on as well. They were nice too.
Good. Reef. Yeah, still find them.
Yeah. And a skier.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Alcott was on there, wasn't he? Yeah, that's right.
Lovely.
Little trip down memory lane with Pete there, Marcus.
Yeah, a memory that the whole nation can share.
Why are you being so horrible to me?
I'm not. You're on television. Everyone tuned in, I'm no doubt about it.
How rude.
Not being rude.
I agree that he has been horrible.
He's been horrible.
It shames me. I'm like Richard Hammond. I'm quite enjoying it. he's Clarkson. I'm Richard Hammond. Jim's obviously James.
Yeah, am I? The Stig or a car or what?
Yeah, you're just a bad car that gets a terrible review.
I'm a caravan.
Yeah, exploded caravan.
Yeah, no, you're Jeremy hates him.
You're Chris Evans.
Yeah.
I'm a producer that Marcus ends up punching.
Yeah. You put sauce on my food.
Yeah. You injected sauce into my pie.
Yeah.
Take that out of my pie.
Yeah.
Aston Villa beat Derby 4-0. Jack Grealish back with a bang. He scored a beauty, did he not?
I don't want to talk about it.
It was an absolute... Whip. Belter.
When you see a corner which is floated to the edge of the box, you often think, I maybe should have just put that in.
Yeah.
But when a goal happens like that, you know, Marcus, you think Paul Scholes. For those of you a little bit more, I suppose, continentally minded, if that's a word, Lothar Matthäus for Bayern, I think.
He scored another one in the World Cup 90 for Germany as well, low into the bottom corner from quite a way out.
No, but it wasn't crossed in from a corner.
It was not, and I've just realised that. Yeah.
But I feel like when you're playing FIFA and an opportunity like that arises, you have to hit it.
Oh, you do.
You have to.
Well, that's what Jack Grealish was doing.
He just lashed it as well. Not suggesting there was no control, because clearly he's very talented, but he smashed that. But what I'm, Marcus, in that situation, when I'm watching a game and the ball comes over from a corner and it gets cleared, I'm thinking...
Where's Paul Scholes?
Which player is just at a camera shot? Mm. Is it the holding midfield player for the defending team, or is it a player for the attacking team? If it's a player for the attacking team, I want him to smash it first time.
Or in general, if a holding midfield, if the ball drops to him like that?
So for the defending team.
Oh, for the defending team.
Is it going to be cleared? Is it going to be looked after? Or is it going to be smashed back in?
Check Tiote. That's all I'm saying.
Quite.
Is it better than John McGinn's goal last season?
I don't think it is.
No, probably not. No.
Whip.
It's just they're both absolutely brilliant goals where the technique is perfect. Mm. So at this point, it's about aesthetics, isn't it? I think the bend on Gins was better.
But 4-0 up, Aston Villa were at half-time.
Half-time,
incredible. Derby had a lot of injuries, fair enough. They've dropped down to seventh after losing three on the bounce. They're three off the playoffs now. They've got Lampard in his first job. There's, as far as I'm aware, it always seems like quite... A sort of fairly healthy situation at Derby. They've been a little bit unlucky, maybe not going up. They haven't been in the Premier League now for a few seasons. I just feel like it's a bit too early.
I think they're going to miss out. I do.
And I think what you said about them having younger players, Luke, how will they do with that in terms of experience, in terms of fatigue and so on? Maybe losing three on the bounce at this stage of the season, but it is the Championship, you know, they might end up winning it, for crying out
loud. I think losing at home to Millwall, as they did, affect their confidence. And I think that they're probably... Chelsea are trying to get... I think Chelsea are trying to get Frank Lampard. I do. I think Frank Lampard's going to be lined up to be the next Chelsea manager.
Not this summer.
Don't know.
Not this, surely.
Don't know.
He needs to earn his stripes a bit more.
He was offered it before. He was offered it. And he said he didn't want it because he didn't feel ready for it. Yeah. He was literally offered the job. I know that for a fact. Enough, and so I wouldn't be hugely surprised. Obviously, it depends on a lot of factors. Yeah. But if he delivers them a good return this season, so they come sixth or whatever, and they get knocked out in the playoffs, even seventh.
Chelsea want a slice of that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Chelsea will get a slice of that this season.
But I don't think within reason, anything Frank Lampard does at Derby is going to affect how well, highly he's thought at Chelsea.
So you think it's one of those situations where, you know, like with Barcelona managers, it doesn't matter what certain individuals do with their career. I mean, Frank Rijkaard's career is an absolute mystery.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
But he won the Champions League at Barcelona.
But he really got them going again and paved the way largely in terms of style and whatnot for Guardiola, who then came in and got rid of the party animals, you know. Yeah. So with Lampard, it's kind of like if you're a Chelsea man, you're a Chelsea man. Like Solskjaer, Manchester United. Yeah, yeah. There's a good example.
Yeah, I do believe that. I'm not saying I do a brilliant job, but I think that that's what they want to do.
The only problem is Barcelona certainly have had a more tradition about playing style and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't think Frank Lampard will go to Barcelona.
Do you not?
No, I'll take your point. But
Paolo Wanchope can join Derby.
Think of it from this point of view. Chelsea have been through every top manager. Yeah, Who else are they going to hire?
That's true.
You know?
Give Roman a go.
Brendy Rodgers.
Brendy, exactly. Yeah. He's on the stepping stone at Leicester at the moment.
Yeah.
Don't at us.
2-1 defeat at Watford, though. That's not how you get the Chelsea job.
Unlucky, though, weren't they?
They were unlucky. Let's go to the WhatsApp group.
Oh, WhatsApp group, where's the
button? We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Good to have you here, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us in this WhatsApp group chat. Now, according to reports, Premier League club scouts are using £150 glasses that are fitted with recording devices to record footage of their opponents' matches. A source revealed he was found in a pie. said some Premier League teams needed more recorded clips of certain game situations than they could get from normal means. So apparently the scouts go and sit in the stands to record whichever parts of the opponents they want to focus on.
Ooh.
Pete Donaldson, do you own a pair of these glasses? Are you recording us right now?
I reckon they're just those Snapchat glasses that went down incredibly badly. And so they've just got a job lot of them. They're trying to get rid of.
Could someone please go back and rewatch the Marcelo Bielsa explainer/apology to see if he was wearing those glasses when he delivered the apology?
It's because, Google Glass, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and the one thing you can't miss out on this story is that, as I said at the time, The Daily Mail called them James Bond style glasses.
Yes, they did.
Oh, everything remotely linked to technology, according James to the Bond, Daily Mail, has something to do with James Bond.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's the sort of England they fantasize about, isn't it?
It's true. Yeah. But the picture that accompanied that article was Beals wearing his glasses.
Obviously.
Like smiling.
I saw that.
Say, hey, am I wearing them? Am I not?
Because Google,
can I see through your clothes?
Google Glass gave us the impression that this would be normal by now, didn't it? And then it just sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
apparently it's out there.
Hermann Burgos was the only guy who actually wore them.
It's true. I think this... I don't think you should report on that, because now poor people with glasses in like the home end or something, people
suspicious.
Are like,
hey,
you're recording us.
But also, Google Glass isn't a recording device.
No,
though.
But this is not Google Glass.
You can
this
record,
is...
though, can you?
Sure, okay. You can. I know it's not. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's not.
Anything with a front-facing camera.
I didn't think it had got a camera. I thought it just gave you a little thing with information in the lens.
I am... Clearly, the master of espionage.
Are you wearing them now?
Oh, well, you've just been in Taiwan.
Yeah,
apparently. You know.
That's what I've been getting job lots.
You're handing them
back. That's what I'm saying is, cook-up guy.
Be a little bit suspicious. Don't act, though. We don't want any vigilantes out there. But if you see a person wearing glasses and there's a little red light on in there somewhere,
hit them.
Yeah, just get in their way. Get in their way.
The Daily Mail posted a diagram of a pair of glasses.
They did. Think,
and it includes the following. Don't look at it. I'm going to read it to you.
Oh, look at it.
USB port.
How are you going to charge your lithium-ion battery?
True. A video/stills camera with a record and stop button. On
a
the
VHS
side.
Recorder. Yeah.
Boring description.
A red light for a recording indicator, right. As well as a durable and flexible frame and dark lenses.
Okay.
There you go. So
they've just copied and pasted that from some manufacturer's
They've got it from Pinterest. Okay. I've seen it on there. Yeah.
I'm going to just tape a GoPro to one of my eyes.
Yeah, do that.
Pretend it's I'm the Terminator.
Like the world's shittest Terminator.
Yeah. There we are. All right then. Yeah, interesting stuff there. David Beckham has had a statue of him unveiled at LA Galaxy Stadium.
Have you seen the congratulations video? Oh, yeah. Sent. So it's Brooklyn Beckham, being very adorable. And then it's his other three children being very adorable. And then it's Snoop Dogg.
Is it really?
A really old combination.
They're friends.
Yeah.
It's a very good statue, by the way.
It is a good statue.
Of Matt Ritchie.
The kit is
of Matt Ritchie. Yeah, it looks a bit like Matt Ritchie, yeah.
Yeah, the kit is a different colour from the rest of the statue, which I like. Yeah.
We've been doing the show for a long time. We have covered a lot of football statues. Mm. And I would say this is toward the better end.
Statues are hard. They are, if we've learnt nothing else from doing this podcast, statues just seem to be really difficult to make.
It looks a bit like Jimmy Hill.
Let's have a look.
Do you reckon? Yeah. The furrowed brow kind of
I think
condenses into his eyebrows
in there.
A little bit.
I know
bit.
What you mean. At first glance, you think, oh, is that a bit...
But face is too long.
It's in there. He's in there, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's
not actually literally in there, is he? I mean, it's almost to get him out.
Well, I don't know. Could be some sort of Trojan horse situation. Yeah. They turn the lights off and out comes David.
I think he's welcome at the stadium anyway.
That
he doesn't need to go.
That's why he's got a statue.
Yeah, but he doesn't get his jollies that way, Jim.
wearing a pair of odd glasses, this statue.
Is he worthy of a statue? I mean, they obviously think he is. Yeah, but I mean, bearing in mind, for the first couple of seasons of his career, he just walked around the pitch there thinking,
Landon Donovan is going to, you know.
I mean, yes, exactly.
He's going to be furious.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, that is going to be like Jebediah Springfielded very soon.
I think with Beckham, it's the idea that he raised the profile of the league and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think it's...
Zlatan's going to kick its head off.
He won two MLS Cups, two Supporters' Shields, some decent...
What's a Supporters' Shield?
Peter, do your research.
No.
Hang on, I'll just click and find out. it's the award given to the team in Major League Soccer with the best regular season record. So it's almost like the league title.
Okay.
Yeah, so he had two decent seasons. Where's Selez's statue at Newcastle? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. I'm putting my headphones off.
No, I'm saying he should have a statue. Have one.
Oh,
knobhead.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
He should have one.
Yeah.
What time zone are you on at the moment?
Or do you disagree, Peter? You think Selez shouldn't
be
on it?
Right.
It should be on a plinth above the stadium.
It
should be in a helicopter with him in it, and it should be on a big stick coming out of the stand.
It should be like a totem pole, and all the faces of the 94-95
oh my God.
Season like that, just kind of up. Or,
Selez on top?
With Selez on top. Well, Alan would probably take top, and then Selez.
Alan.
Yeah. Alan.
Where's Peggy?
You've got to give his line. He would not be a structural component of this. Of this Newcastle United.
Very obvious reason.
Let's make that very clear.
Can we fall over onto Kevin Keegan?
Can we put a Photoshop challenge to our listeners for the first time ever? I just want to see that.
Okay, so we want a Newcastle United 94-95 totem pole.
But that's before Shearer, though. That was before Shearer signed.
All right, well, 4-5. Let's go.
Just to help people out.
Okay.
Just get Darren Peacock in there. Don't forget about Darren. Beckham's team, Inter Miami FC, will, of course, be in MLS, I believe, next year.
Inter Miami.
So will they regret putting...
Or not.
Maybe you'll get two.
Will they regret putting a statue of him? Beckham's team go there, they win the cup, he's on the pitch, knee sliding.
Yeah.
So, the Fiorentina fans were pissed off that... Battistuta, he has a statue outside Fiorentina's ground, and that's understandable. He's probably the best player in the history of their club, you would certainly argue. And then no sooner did that happen, he went to Roma and won the league with them.
Yeah.
So, Henri's
statue's kneeling, isn't it?
Yeah, he's
knee sliding. Yeah.
Knee sliding, because I remember, I think I wrote the Ramble book, that I once walked past it and somebody had put Henry the Hoover. You see Henry the Hoovers around town sometimes.
I've got Henry the
discarded. They've just been broken. Someone left one outright next to the Thierry Henry statue. It just looked like he was chasing a Hoover bag. It's just really weird.
Henry the Hoover.
Yeah,
excellent.
Exactly.
You're also co-owner of Inter Miami is, of course, Simon Fuller.
You would think as well, if they ever do erect a statue of David, it will be David himself making that decision. So keep an eye on that.
Imagine if they open it with him just saying, yeah, I've got a statue here. That'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant.
It would
be.
It's
a great statement of intent.
This
is how much of a legend I'm going to be in Miami.
Self-indulgent, but
they're going to have to repaint that, though. I look at that and I sort of go, that's upkeep.
It's true, because he's got the shirt on it and everything.
The Herbalife.
Yeah, exactly.
It does look good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having Pete Donaldson back and you listening to this nonsense. Back on Thursday for the preview show. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Goodbye.
Bye from me.
was a Radio Staccato production.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.